The American Diabetes Association reports that almost 5 million African Americans in the U.S. have diabetes. Capital Public Radio healthcare reporter Pauline Bartolone takes us to a community gathering in South Sacramento to meet families who are dealing with diabetes.
On a Saturday afternoon in this Sacramento school gymnasium, dozens of people gather around cafeteria tables covered with paper cloths. They eat white cake and cold cuts and share stories. But it's not a celebration. It's a commemoration of people they've lost.
We're at the DaVita Circle of Life Memorial for the patients that have passed away these past couple years.
Shalon Lang is mourning her mother, Katie Jones. After her mother's kidney failed 3 years ago, she got dialysis at a Sacramento center.
She passed away this year at the age of 79 from end-stage renal disease. The cause of that was long-term diabetes.
The burden of diabetes is not evenly shared. While the overall rate of diabetes in the U.S. is just over 8%, almost 13% of African Americans have been diagnosed. And black diabetics are twice as likely to die from the disease.
And yet, as death diminishes, love enhances.
As images of lost loved ones are projected on the gymnasium wall, caretakers walk to a microphone to share stories.
Anyone else like to come up and share their story?
Shalon's mother needed convincing to begin the life-saving treatments.
I just want to say that for our families and friends that have been on dialysis, they are true champions. They're true heroes. Dialysis is no joke.
Many diabetics with failed kidneys spend half their days sitting in dialysis chairs. Their blood must be cleansed of toxins their kidneys can no longer remove. Just over 200,000 diabetics in the U.S. were on dialysis or had a kidney transplant in 2008 because of renal failure. For most, dialysis is an exhausting and burdensome process, but it prolongs life. Dialysis patients often spend so much time at the centers, they form bonds with others like them.
Hi, darling.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Carolyn Jackson is one of 185 patients treated at this dialysis center in South Sacramento. She's diabetic. She's been going 3 times a week for years. Today, she comes with blanket in hand to keep her warm through the long treatment.
So I always have my bag and my phone. Keep contact with the outside world for the 4 hours and 25 minutes that I'm in there.
The scene is sobering. Patients filter in and out using canes, wheelchairs, arriving in subsidized transportation. Uncontrolled diabetes can lead to severe complications, gum disease, lower limb amputation, or blindness. Carolyn looks young and healthy compared to many of the others here today. She walks into the center on her own 2 feet. At her home in Sacramento, Carolyn talks about the struggle to manage diabetes.
You know, some people, you know, I hate going in. I don't like it either, but if I want to live, I have to go. I call it my job to go for dialysis. I tell the kids, oh, I'm getting ready to go to work. You know, see you later when I get home.
Diabetes is the main reason Carolyn quit working in her early 50s. Lost productivity from diabetes in the U.S. amounted to more than $58 billion in 2007. Even when Carolyn was working and raising her kids, she said it was hard to afford healthy food on her income.
Foods that are good for you are too expensive. We cannot afford it. Fruits and vegetables are sky high. I love my fruits and vegetables, but, you know, it's tough. You have no choice to get the frozen food, the frozen pizzas. And try to feed the kids.
More than a quarter of African Americans in the U.S. live in poverty. Carolyn says poor diet is a main cause for the high rates of diabetes in black communities.
Pound cake, peach cobbler, things like that. Yeah, it's about food. You know, years ago, you know, that's the way you showed a person how much you love them by cooking for them.
Carolyn has worked to change her diet. On a Wednesday night after dialysis, she demonstrates cooking one of her healthy meals. Carolyn walks around the kitchen with a large white bandage on her upper forearm, a reminder of the day's treatment.
Making chicken stir fry, I put in the soy sauce, garlic, and I'm gonna let that boil for a few minutes.
Carolyn lives with three of her four adult children. Diabetes runs in the family, and she's trying to be a role model.
Brenda does not have it. Michael is borderline, but Andre has it. And my mom had it, and my dad had it also.
Members of the family take turns cooking. When it's Carolyn's turn, she's mindful of her children's health.
Don't fry as much as I used to. One son, Michael. Well, how am I going to fix chicken today? Oh, Mom, can you fry it? Nope, can't do it. Nope, can't do it. Either boil it, bake it, roast it, barbecue it, whatever. But I'm not going to fry it.
She says what ends up on the table still depends on what's on sale at the store. But every meal does come with a vegetable. As she eats her dinner, Carolyn worries about her 29-year-old son, Andre. He was diagnosed with diabetes a few years ago, and she says he has no health insurance and is not taking care of himself the way he should.
Drinking the sweet drinks and not monitoring himself. And I don't want him to turn up like I did, not knowing that I was a diabetic all those years and not taking care of myself properly. Then maybe I wouldn't have had the damage in my eyes. You know, I don't want him losing a limb.
Carolyn's daily activities are limited to mostly dialysis and church. But she wants to use the energy she has to spread awareness of the disease to young people in her church and beyond.
You know, I might have a disease, but the disease does not have me. My grandkids, you know, I want to be around for them, you know, so I have to, you know, take care of myself for them.
Diabetes isn't just a physical health issue in the African American community. It's having a social and psychological impact.
As the numbers rise, we have more and more families affected by the disease in terms of amputations, in terms of renal failure, in terms of obesity, and then psychologically just the worry in our communities about whether or not we're going to get it.
Brenda Darcel-Lee is executive director of the California Black Health Network in Sacramento. She says diet is a big part of why so many African Americans suffer from diabetes, and the roots of this diet go back generations.
When Africans left Africa and were brought over to this country via the Middle Passage, there was a lack of nutritional food on the slave ships, and in some cases, not enough food at all. Once they were here, they were subjected to foods that were not nutritious in any way whatsoever because they were really given what was left. Most of the foods were starchy, they were fatty, and a lot of pork, which is high in both sodium and fat. As slaves began to inculcate those kinds of foods into their diets, you saw a rise in the kinds of diseases that were prevalent in those days in the African American community. A lot of that diet was carried over even after emancipation. Mm-hmm. A lot of folk call it soul food or Southern cooking, but really it started back in slavery. And so you find a lot of high starchy foods in our diet, fried foods, and not as many fresh fruits and vegetables. That is a challenge for us, especially in low-income communities. Prime example, you can go to Oakland, right here in California, and go for blocks and blocks and blocks and not find a grocery store that offers fresh fruits and vegetables. That's a problem.
What healthcare interventions are really working for the Black community, and are some of those interventions coming from the community itself?
Absolutely. I think that as over the last few years, as the issue of diabetes in our communities has been raised, we see more and more organizations getting involved in this issue and trying to make a difference. California Black Health Network, if I could plug my own, is one. The American Diabetes Association, I have to give them credit. On their website, they now have a section focused on African Americans. There are a lot of organizations, even NAA and Urban League, that are now looking at ways to address that issue. The California Black Chamber of Commerce, they've addressed diabetes as one of the major challenges in our community.
What policy changes do you recommend for the state or nation to help support the Black community in combating this epidemic?
We are very much in support of the Affordable Care Act, and we are very much pushing for its implementation in the state of California because we believe that it's so important that it's implemented here. So that other states follow suit. And the reason that I say that is because there are components of the Act that deal with prevention and wellness. And I think that that is really the clear way to go as you address diabetes. We need to begin to change mindsets and the understanding of what you have to do so that you don't get the disease. So I think that's real important. Another is access to fresh fruits and vegetables in communities throughout the state. And we will continue to work with the Legislative Black Caucus and the state legislature to make sure that that happens in the long run. I also think that it's important that there be more incentives for businesses to cover prevention and wellness in their insurance programs. I hope that the Health Benefits Exchange, as they look at how insurance is going to be managed in this state in the long run, I hope that they begin to look at prevention and wellness as a key component of stemming this tide of rising chronic disease in African American communities.
Brenda Darcel Lee is Executive Director of the California Black Health Network. You can download transcripts of full-length interviews with experts on diabetes and see video profiles of Carolyn Jackson and others featured in this program at capradio.org/dealingwithdiabetes. Next, how Native American diabetics are learning to make healthy choices for life. I'm Pamela Wu. This is Dealing with Diabetes from Capital Public Radio.